See participating location for details.
Why do I buy my food grown and raised locally? The same reason I invest with DUPACO. Both reinvest in the community by recycling local money. DUPACO's sustainable money methods are healthier for me, my kids, and my neighborhood. When you pledge your support to a local farm, you reap your share of the harvest. When you invest in ownership at a cooperative with local roots like DUPACO, their investment team puts your money to work locally, providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, small business funding, and more. As the community prospers, your nest egg grows. Whether you're seeding your first investment or needing a free review of your current portfolio, there's no outside group of faraway stockholders deciding what's best for you. Want your money to yield more meaningful rewards? Plant it in your own backyard.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
DUPACO Community Credit Union.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Insure.
Trust.
Winter is on its way. Is your grass cut out for it? Fall is the best time to seed your lawn, and right now the Home Depot has 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed bags, 15 pounds or larger. Only Turf Builder has WaterSmart Plus coating technology, along with nutrients to jumpstart new growth and protect against diseases. Get healthy grass guaranteed. For a healthy lawn, it's time to sow the seeds of success with 20% off Scott's Turf Builder grass seed, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 11th.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My Lists that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
Three runner-up finishes in the playoffs have Chase Elliott moving up the charts, but Talladega looms this weekend.
Go and cross your fingers, I guess.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Kansas Speedway's first playoff elimination race is coming. Here's some reasons to be there. Reason number 88, it's Dale Jr.'s last Kansas NASCAR Cup race. We can all lift a cold one to that. Reason number 78, Martin Truex Jr., because underdog stories make the playoffs even better. Did I mention it's the playoffs? The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Hollywood Casino 400, Sunday, October 22nd. Tickets at KansasSpeedway.com.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Four playoff races, three second-place finishes for Chase Elliott, who's now fourth in the standings with the unpredictable Talladega Super Speedway up this weekend. In May, he wound up in an 18-car wreck there, so now he's thinking, get to the end on Sunday.
Definitely the stage points are very valuable, and I think everybody knows that. It's no secret, so everybody's going to want to go and get stage points. There's also a price tag that comes with wrecking that early in the race, so hopefully we're not in it, and we can get out of there and just keep all four on the ground this time. I'd be happy.
Cup and Camping World Truck Series haulers arrive at Talladega Thursday. Previews are at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back in. It is the Todd Brolkamp Show coming your way on 1600 AM only at the moment because the game's still underway at Wrigley Field between the Cubs and the Nationals. Nothing has changed since the Nationals scored that early run. It is still 1-0. Carl Edwards Jr. on in relief for the Cubs. And we'll keep you apprised of what's going on there. One of two MLB postseason games today. 7 o'clock tonight, all three of our frequencies will have the Yankees and the Indians, as one of those two teams will be booking tickets to the American League Championship Series where they'll take on the Houston Astros. We move from baseball talk and soccer talk to fantasy football discussion here for his weekly segment. Sponsored by Imon Communications, it is our fantasy football expert from ESPN.com, Tristan Cockcroft. And Tristan, I don't think you'll be surprised by this, but the number one question so far that we've been receiving from a lot of people is, what do you make of Adrian Peterson to the Arizona Cardinals? A lot of people, I think, are trying to reclaim the AP of old.
And I knew that would be the popular question this week, because that's what I'm getting too. People want to believe that Adrian Peterson is going to return to that great season that he had 2 years ago. And all I can say is it's possible he could fall within range of that in terms of fantasy production, but I think it's pretty unlikely. And the way I describe his situation in Arizona is he steps into Chris Johnson's old role. So he's going to be off the field during the passing downs. Andre Ellington is going to stay in there, and his role won't change. Peterson will take over Johnson's production. He's a better player at this point than Johnson was. He looked at the very end of his career. But I think Peterson's near the end of his own. If you look at his numbers, I think it's the past 15 games, seven of them, he had some of his worst yards per carry numbers. So clearly age has gotten to him. It's really the hunt for touchdowns, and I'd treat him as a flex play consideration that's very matchup dependent.
Tristan, speaking of end of careers, my patience is running a little bit low with Ben Roethlisberger. Is it time to start looking for contingency plans if you own Ben Roethlisberger?
I'd say yeah. It's pretty mandatory at this point, because this matchup, what was most distressing about it is that it was a home game, and he typically plays better there, even against some of the tougher defenses like Jacksonville's. The other thing that bothered me is that he had a couple of bad breaks early in the game, a couple of poor decisions, and then he melted down late. That's not the kind of performance I want to see from a quarterback. He's got great weapons to throw to, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, several others there that he can throw to, but I think he's going to be very turnover prone. And when you look at the schedule that the Steelers have, there are very clear starts and sits. I think that's the kind of player he's going to be, which is a middle range second quarterback in a two quarterback league. And in a standard league, yeah, let him go. I think he's in the streamers class.
One other quarterback question. A lot of people wondering, any area of concern with Tom Brady and that shoulder as they go into the Jets matchup?
A little bit. I'm keeping my eye on it, because I think that this is worthy enough to track and to sweat just a little bit. I mean, I don't think the Patriots look at this game like it's one that's going to be that difficult for them to win. I mean, the Jets have performed very well up to this point. The Patriots' defense is a problem, so I do think they'd rather have Brady play there. And my inclination is to assume he is going to play. Remember, he's been listed as questionable on the injury report many times in his career. He has to be among the league's leader in questionable tags on the injury report over the past decade, and he's come out and played and shown no ill effects. So if he was ever playing at less than 100% before, we'd never have known. That might just be the case here. I'd start him.
The number, if you've got a fantasy football question for Tristan, is 319-366-1600. Let's get into the Hertine and Stocker text line here. Somebody wants to know, Buck Allen of the Ravens, is he now a weekly play, or is he still relegated to flex consideration?
I think he's a weekly play if it's a PPR or a half PPR league. I do think you need to mind the matchups if it's one that doesn't reward for the receptions, just because when he faces some tougher defenses, sometimes the game flow will kind of take something away from him. If he doesn't do anything on the ground, then that does detract from his value in those formats. That's the one in which I would keep an eye on the matchups.
6936 wants to know, Latavius Murray or Matt Forte to start this week in a PPR league?
In a PPR league, it does make Forte a little bit more interesting, and we're going to have to see how this Bilal Powell injury plays out. If Powell sits, that's going to elevate Forte in a PPR league to the clear start of these two. I feel like right now, with the hopes I have that Bilal Powell is able to play this week, that Murray is going to be your better pick.
Somebody on the text line, Jerick McKinnon or Latavius Murray long term?
Long term, I'm going to go in two different directions. You don't get the points for catches, it's Murray. If you do get the points for catches, it's going to be McKinnon. If you want a consistent player, I'd lean towards McKinnon, and that's typically the way I'll play with players like this, who I think, in terms of an overall ranking, belong in the flex play class. I think McKinnon's going to be one who frustrates you a little bit less.
PPR league looking for a flex play between Amari Cooper or Carlos Hyde?
Ooh. Cooper has been a real disappointment. He's bothered me quite a bit. I don't like the situation with E.J. Manuel throwing him the football. The numbers are not good. But Carlos Hyde, he has a terrible matchup here. I'd lean towards Cooper here. I don't have a lot of excitement about either one, but Hyde's matchup is bad, and if he's splitting carries with Matt Breda, this is something to avoid.
9932 wants to know if you would give up Mike Evans for Jordy Nelson in a PPR league.
That's close. I'd have them ranked about the same. I would personally pick, I'd pick Evans there just because of the schedule. I feel like there's a little bit more potential in terms of the total number of receptions, and the schedule, last I checked, the remaining one grades a little bit better for him. But that's almost a coin flip.
Lots of Packers running back-related questions today, including one from 8992, Aaron Jones or Alvin Kamara of the Saints in the flex spot. It is a standard league.
In a standard league, that gets awfully close, and I would tend to, if Jones is going to be the guy this week and we have Ty Montgomery out again, Jones is going to get my nod here because of the scoring format. The place in which I like Kamara is, again, giving all the points for catches. I do think he's going to be heavily involved. The nice thing about Peterson, who we talked about before, is that leaving New Orleans doesn't really improve things much for Alvin Kamara. What it does is it locks him into the role we've seen the past couple of weeks. So I think there'll be better times to use him than this week, though.
Does it improve things for Ingram?
It does, because my big worry was they liked what they saw in Kamara and that he was going to be locked into his role and Ingram was going to bounce back and forth with Peterson, that if anybody got lost some carries, and this is just the rushing attempts, that Peterson was going to take them away from Ingram. So this effectively makes Ingram the safest option here in terms of rushing ability. I kind of like that. I think both of them are going to put up very good numbers and for the most part be starters every week.
Tristan, I'm not talking about from a press conference standpoint, but from a fantasy football standpoint, is the Cam Newton train back on the tracks?
It's been a rough week for Cam there. I think that it is, with the one hesitation I have being that I do think that Greg Olsen's absence is going to be problematic from time to time for him. Look, Ed Dixon had a great game this past week, but I don't think he's Greg Olsen's talent equivalent. And when you have opposing defenses that have better corners and they can shut down guys like Benjamin and Funches, by the way, this week, not going to happen. They're great. The matchups are great. I'd start the two of them and Newton. But I do think there are going to be a couple of weeks where against tougher defenses, maybe he disappoints you.
PPR league, looking for two of the three here, Jay Ajayi, Jonathan Stewart, or Willie Snead.
Ajayi for sure. I actually like this matchup quite a bit for him. I mean, Atlanta's done a little better again in terms of the run defense lately, but I still think it's a good matchup for Ajayi. To Snead here for the other one, though. I think Snead's got a pretty decent matchup in his own right here. One of the main things for me about the Detroit one is that, remember, it's all about Darius Slay, and I think he's going to be shadowing, for the most part, Michael Thomas. It means that Snead's probably going to be asked to do more in this particular game.
I believe this was a long-term rest of the season, and not a weekly question, but a tight end one, Jared Cook or Martellus Bennett?
So if it's long-term, I would lean to Cook just because so far the target numbers look pretty enticing. Bennett's going to be a little too touchdown reliant going forward, and I think, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers made it pretty clear he's throwing to his wide receivers. Cook would get my edge for the long haul.
Tristan, I promise I'm not trying to troll you here, but with Odell Beckham Jr. out for the season, does anybody on that Giants offense value increase, or is that offense just going to fall into a tailspin like a lot of people expect?
It's going to be a painful year for me watching these Giants. Oh, boy. This is what kills me. In the preseason, the three guys we wanted most from the Giants, Odell Beckham, Paul Perkins, Eli Manning, and today, it's Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Shane Vereen. And I'd argue it's in that order for each of those three. So what I think happens here with that, by the way, this week, avoid the Giants entirely. They're going to be a mess, I think, going up against Denver, especially with real questionable wide receivers. But I think Sterling Shepard is a pretty dynamic talent. He's going to have some good games. Evan Ingram is the very interesting name to watch. If they roll him out as a wideout here and there, I do think that's going to bump up his numbers. They're going to have to throw a lot, and I think they want to get him some reps for next year. This is a future piece for them, so Ingram would be one I'd probably put on. That's the basket I'm putting all my eggs in.
I'm on communications helping you set your fantasy football lineups this weekend with ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft. Looks like somebody may be working on a trade here.
They would like to know who you think the better long-term player is among each position here. Receivers, you've got Devin Funchess or Will Fuller, and then running backs, Mark Ingram and Doug Martin.
So in terms of long-term appeal, I would still lean to Funchess. One of the differences between these two, I mean, and all credit due to Deshaun Watson. This guy's not afraid to throw downfield. That matched up nicely for Will Fuller. Funchess just has the better schedule. And if you look at the usage, you look at things like snap count, routes run, targets, Funchess is being used heavily. He's getting a lot more looks than Will Fuller does, so I think that's going to give him the edge here. It's pretty close, though. At running back, I prefer Ingram. I do think that Peterson's departure locks Ingram into a pretty hefty workload, and Doug Martin's not going to contribute a lot more other than a pretty decent number of carries each week, and I don't think it's going to be 20. So I'd give Ingram and Funchess.
Tristan, is it time to buy in on Deshaun Watson?
Yes, it is. One of the other things that I didn't mention, besides his, his interest in throwing, he doesn't care. This guy throws it into traffic, and he doesn't care. He'll gun it downfield 10 plus yards and have no problem taking chances. That's good. He doesn't have to deal with a lot of the defensive pressure from teams because this guy can scramble with the best of them. But one thing in his favor, J.J. Watt, that loss brings the defense back, and they might be forced to throw more often. So Deshaun Watson, who had an elevated floor in the first place, his upside is now greater. I think there's a chance he's a top eight quarterback from today forward.
Are there any matchups that you really like this weekend as far as people who maybe are dealing with a bye week and they're looking to take a flyer on somebody?
I wanted to put the Jets two wide receivers on there because of how bad the Patriots offense has been. Offense has been fine. But Jermaine Kearse, Robbie Anderson, the other is Austin Seferian Jenkins, is still getting overlooked. Seferian Jenkins at this point is a locked-in starter based on this matchup. From the same game, I really like James White going deeper on the running backs list for this week. I think he's got a pretty good matchup. And they also, by the way, the Jets, they struggle a lot against the pass-catching running backs. The other one, too, who I didn't get to write up, so I'll mention him here, Jacoby Brissett. Brissett has some good mobility numbers. The rushing production has been nice. That elevates the floor, as I always say, with the mobile quarterbacks. But the other thing is Tennessee, very bad against wide receivers. Brissett could get the ball pretty easily to T.Y. Hilton and company and put up a nice game for you.
Tristan, 4795, wants to know if Carlos Hyde has a, quote, hot enough hand to play this week.
The truth is, I think he has the exact opposite. I think he has about the coldest hand you could ask right now. The snap numbers were firmly in Matt Breda's column, and they were not willing to make the injury excuse for Hyde after that game. That's a very bad sign. It is a road game going across country, and it's playing against Washington, which has been very good in terms of the run defense, especially against some of the more questionable backfields, the timeshares. When they've played home games, they've been exceptional against the run. I would be avoiding Hyde if I possibly could this week.
Tristan, we appreciate it as always, and we'll send people the way of ESPN.com, the fantasy football rankings, everything up to date, and best of luck this weekend. A great chat as always.
Thanks, and best of luck to you too.
Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answering your football questions every Wednesday with us here, courtesy of Imon Communications. Imon's got you covered, telephone, internet, cable TV, anything you need communications related. Imon Communications, they also sponsor Chris Liss's appearance from rotowire.com during the Wednesday gym class. And probably a good of time as ever to let everybody know that we are in first place in the listener fantasy football league. Rolling along. The rest of my teams, up and down, up and down. I lost Dalvin Cook in one league. I'm starting to really regret. I had an opportunity, and I took a flyer on Brandon Cooks. I thought, man, he's going to New England and Tom Brady, and yeah, that hasn't worked out very well. I'm still waiting for Mike Evans to get going. Some of the older running backs not necessarily working out. I took a major flyer on Christian McCaffrey after all the preseason hype. He found the end zone last week, but it hasn't necessarily been as positive for him as it has been for a Leonard Fournette or prior to the injury, Dalvin Cook, some of the other rookie running backs, Kareem Hunt especially. I'm surprised we didn't get any Kareem Hunt questions. Is it time to sell high on Kareem Hunt? Well, you might want to hang on to him. He's looking like the real deal.
Yeah, I think that at this point, Kareem Hunt has just become, all right, we're going to play him. There's no other discussion about it. So it's pretty crazy. You talk about teams or players that are really not, that haven't gotten going yet. I feel like that's most of the league. Other than Kareem Hunt, other than Leonard Fournette, other than Tom Brady, everybody's been inconsistent. And it's hard to play fantasy football in 2017.
Well, this is not necessarily the greatest news to pass along in the world if you're a Cubs fan, but Michael Taylor of the Washington Nationals has just hit a grand slam. Yeah, Michael Taylor is a good young player for the Nats. So Washington is up 5-0 now. He had it off of Wade Davis, who I don't think had enough time to get ready because he had to come in and try to put out a fire that was started by Carl Edwards Jr., who issued a couple walks. And this is it. This is what it's like to be a Cubs fan. If you jumped on the bandwagon sometime in, let's say, the middle of 2015 when it was looking like they were going to make the postseason, which they did, or if you jumped on the bandwagon last year during the World Series run, you have had one hell of a ride on the bandwagon. But this is what it's like to be a long-suffering Cubs fan. But I'm sticking to my guns here. I said all year long, this is the buffer year. They won the World Series last year. No matter what happens this year, I'm not upset about it. It was a great ride. They won the World Series last year. I'm not going to completely dive off the deep end if they don't get back there. As a matter of fact, aren't you the guy that predicted the Nationals were going to win the series? Yes, I am. It doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. The one time in my life where I'm actually right about something, and it could possibly be the way the series plays.
Possibly,
out.
Possibly.
You game still five. Have the Kyle Nationals. Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks in game, in five. Game five. And all the things about Dusty and everything. I mean, it's something, but it looks like it's going to take a miraculous turnaround for the Cubs to close this thing out today. And game five, right around the corner as the series shifts back to Washington, D.C. Winner will get the Los Angeles Dodgers. Over in the American League, it's the Houston Astros just gathering rust. This is tough sometimes. You almost would rather have a series go five games, I think, momentum-wise. But the Astros are so good, they're going to be ready for whoever they wind up facing, whether it be the Yankees or the Indians. That's our poll question tonight, KGYMRadio.com. What team wins and advances to face the Astros? Check out Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue Southeast. They are hidden away. It's in the name. Don't get mad at them for being hard to find, or maybe not the easiest to find, but don't drive past them. They're right next to the Taco John's on First Avenue Southeast over by Lindale Mall. 319-366-1600. It is 6:23. I think I've got a couple airplane bottles of booze in the office I made. How much time do we have? How long is this break?
2.5 minutes.
I may run down the hall and break into it from the... They've been in the desk since the Easter egg hunt when I found all
found
three
all
of them. Miraculously. I found all three.
And I got a bunch of melted chocolate.
Easter eggs that had the airplane bottles of booze in them, and everybody else got mad at me. I got some money that day, too. But I was more interested in the booze. May need it to get to 7 o'clock tonight. Yankees-Indians, by the way, coming your way on all three of our frequencies, including the one that you're listening to us on right now, 1600 AM. It is a very morose Todd Brummelkamp show as the Cubs falling to the Washington Nationals today, and everything is wrong with the world. Woe is me. Oh, my God. Imagine if I cared about the U.S. men's national soccer team as well as the Cubs. I would be despondent today. 366-1600, soccer talk, football talk. Let's play. You know what? We got some great audio from Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker earlier today. Let's hear some of that when we come back. It's 6:24, another big board update on the way also as we get you up until 7 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Back with more after this.
October is National Cooperative Month, and Linn County REC wants to answer this question for you. What makes being a member of a co-op different? It's pretty simple, really. When you're a member of a co-op, you are also an owner, so you own a stake in the business. Linn County REC members maintain democratic control of the co-op, so they elect fellow members to represent them on the board of directors. And you may not realize, electric cooperatives are not for profit. That means any excess revenue gets returned to members in the form of capital credits each year. Also, as a cooperative, Linn County REC has a sincere concern for community, supporting the areas where their members live and work. From sponsorships to economic development efforts, Linn County REC stands as a driving force in the community, giving their members a voice and living and working right alongside the people they serve. All of this is just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
Kubota's Orange Opportunity Sales Event is going on now. Take on all kinds of jobs around your property with a Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor. The BX has the versatility to handle a wide variety of garden and yard chores. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 84 months, plus great customer instant rebates and a 6-year warranty. Now through October 31st, 2017. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Kubota, a proud sponsor of Iowa State football on the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
What's Iowa offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz think of quarterback Nate Stanley? We'll hear next, but first it's time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle Mann, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's likely to start at free safety, and sophomore Imani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke optimistically about Manny Ragumba's recovery. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but didn't sound as optimistic that he would return after the bye week as was initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Imani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was named to the National Team of the Week after recording 3 tackles, 2 breakups, and a pick six. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the 4th time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar position searching for a new team. Castle has 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his 5th. Today on KGYM over on the FM frequencies, we've got the Cubs and Nationals going right now. The Nationals lead that game 5-0 in the 8th, and following that, we'll bring you the deciding game 5 of the AL Division Series between the Yankees and hosting Indians. It's going to be CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber on the hill starting shortly after 7 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Still have the Indians winning the World Series. I said it back in March, but they need to get to the ALCS first. And then they need to get through a Houston Astros team that is just, not only are they fun to watch, but they have so much talent that the future is very bright with the Houston Astros. Game 5 of that ALDS with the Yankees and the Indians, as Kyle mentioned, coming your way tonight on all 3 of our frequencies. The Cubs game against the Nationals should be over by then. It's already over, but technically, the rules say they still have to play 9. It's baseball. I don't know why I do this. I've watched probably thousands of baseball games in my life. I'm smart enough to know that it's not over until the final out is recorded.
And
but I just don't have that feeling, that okay. Gut feeling. And
this
I had
is what
it last
playoff
year.
Baseball is like, though.
Yes, it is.
And ups and downs, blowing leads. When you think you have a team down, well, the team comes back.
Unfortunately, the Cubs have never had a lead to blow today. They've been down 1-0. Now 5-0.
And, of course, I'm getting a text from our good friend at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, where we will be on Friday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, questioning some of the managerial moves made by Joe Madden, whom Cub fans booed about 48 hours ago. Look, it's tough, man. You try to remind people that, and I'm Facebook friends, and I follow a lot of Cubs fans on Twitter, and I get tired of having to try to put people in the proper perspective of, hey, man, the franchise hadn't won a World Series in 108 years. They won one last year. It's okay. You can't win it every single year, but I guess this is the new era of being a Cubs fan where you feel entitled to greatness. I still remember the 80s. I remember the 90s. I unfortunately remember a lot. I remember too much of the last 15 years of Cubs baseball, both the good and the bad, and the heartbreakingly agonizing bad and good. I remember when Dusty was making Dusty Baker decisions in the home dugout as opposed to the visiting. If this thing works out for Washington and they wind up winning the series, it's nothing but karmic retribution for Game 7 of the World Series last year. And I'll just take a long, hot shower, and I'll dive full into hockey season, and I'll catch up on the Packers at this point because I'm still watching the NFL. And judging by the ratings, so are all of you when the games are entertaining and interesting, like the Packers and the Cowboys were this weekend. Great ratings. The games that are boring have bad rate. Imagine that, right? It's almost as if people choose to watch the games not based on stances or their politics, but whether or not the games are interesting. 366-69, CBS Sports has a story today with the U.S. men's national team eliminated. Here's who to root for in the 2018 World Cup. And the top entry, this is for you Cub fans out there who just jumped on the bandwagon in the last year and a half. The top entry is the favorites. So you can, Germany, you can back Brazil, Belgium. This appears to be in, well, it's not alphabetical order. I take that back. Germany is on there. Portugal, France, Uruguay, Uruguay? I wasn't much of a world, nations of the world, world geography guy in high school or college. Argentina, and then the popular underdogs, Panama and Iceland.
Definitely going for Iceland.
And then the quote-unquote no-chance teams. So if you like to root for teams that have no chance, adopt England, Egypt, Nigeria, and that's just about it.
Could you tell me, like, the best player on some of those favorite teams?
I couldn't.
Like,
if I had
Argentina?
Look, not proud of this, but willing to admit it. Had I not been watching the NFL last weekend and 60 Minutes came on afterwards, I couldn't tell you Christian Pulisic. He's the best player, right, on, like, the U.S.
Yes,
men's national,
like,
team right now?
Lionel Messi?
Sounds Italian.
Argentina.
Hey!
Cristiano Ronaldo?
Sounds Brazilian.
Portugal.
They speak Portuguese. Close. There, right? No?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't... Look, it's funny because I was listening, and I'm on the way back from Iowa City today, and I was listening to the Ryan Russillo show, and Russillo was, like, talking about how difficult it is in this business and how no one openly admits that they have no clue what they're talking. You've got to be the guy with the opinion on everything. And I was like, no, dude, why don't you fly to Cedar Rapids sometime and catch a little bit of this shindig? I'm saying it all the time. Brent Balbinot used to say it, and I completely agree with him. When you do a show like this in an area like this, your knowledge has to be a mile wide and an inch deep. It's a very large puddle, but it's not a very deep one. And, you know, why do you talk so much about this, or why do you talk so much about that? Because it's the handful of things I actually feel comfortable because I know what I'm talking about. And even when I talk about those subjects, people are like, this guy is so full of Dusty. And Dusty Baker. It's not the
full
word.
Full of mold?
Yeah, mold. And look, the surgical masks were great, but it's not working out, and there's going to be a Game 5, and your guess is as good as mine as to whether or not the Cubs or the Nationals are going to wind up advancing to face the Dodgers. It's 6:35. We've got tickets to see Hairball at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena in November. I want to say this November. It's next month. It's about five and a half weeks away. Today is October 11th. Where has the football season gone? I know it's Iowa's bye week. It's halfway over. Hairball is going to be playing the Ice Arena on November 18th. It's a Saturday night, and they'll be doing so with their special guests, the Large Midgets. Yes, that's the name of the band. And we've got a pair of tickets. You can win them on the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. We will take callers number 1 and 2 right now. This is always fun when we are only on 1600 AM. Callers number 1 and 2, if you want to win these tickets, I'm just telling you right now, you've got a really good chance if you pick up the phone and call 366-1600. We need callers number 1 and 2, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you answer more questions than your opponent, you're going to win the Hairball tickets. It's as simple as that. We call it the 6 o'clock showdown, and we will meet our contestants when we return after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Well, that's just, who keeps putting the damn putter along the wall? It makes noise when it falls under the carpet. I'm glad there's noise out there at this point. This is just depressing. We've got these tickets, and it literally takes seconds to write these questions. I mean, that's how much effort and thought goes into the segment, the 6 o'clock showdown.
Preparation.
Hairball tickets are really popular.
Blood,
I don't.
Sweat,
I guess
tears.
People don't want to work for them. We've got 7 questions in 60 seconds, and we still need 2 contestants for the 6 o'clock showdown. 319-366-1600. Here, I'm going to give you 4 of the correct answers off of Alex's questions. I'm basically giving you free tickets. Jake Arrieta, Josie Jewell, Wisconsin, and the Cleveland Browns. 366-1600. Pick up the phone, play along, and win tickets to see Hairball.
And from Todd's 1990, Giants or Reds, North Carolina, and Las Vegas.
There you all look. We just set it up on a silver platter for you. Alex says everybody's listening to the Cubs game. Okay, well, maybe that's the case. It's 5-0. Cubs game, concert tickets. I think I'd be looking for a distraction right now if I were a Cubs fan. Plenty more to get to. We did mention the Brian Ferentz audio talking about Nate Stanley. We've got some Phil Parker discussing, among other things, AJ Epenesa, and perhaps getting him involved in the passing downs, and then the next step, getting him involved in trying to stop the run. He's in on the passing plays. He's not so much in on stop. You know what? Let's just do this. Let's bring Paul in North Liberty on, and I don't care anymore about the 6 o'clock showdown. Paul, would you like to see Hairball on November 18th with the large midgets at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena?
I certainly would.
Okay, that's actually the that's a question, and he answered it correctly, and give him the ding. There we go. Paul, you're going to the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena to see the large midgets play with Hairball Saturday, November 18th. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, at what point did you know that your radio career was a failure? Well, on October 11th at about 6:41. Yeah. There we go. I'm glad we could make somebody a winner tonight. This is just, I'm telling you, man. This is what happens when the Cubs lose. It's 5-0, and now they're toying with me because they got two guys. And here's the... People go nuts about this win expectancy. Instead, all the advanced statistics and the metrics, it was like 1.3% chance at the start of the bottom of the ninth inning. And then it was up to like 2.3%, and I don't... People are just living and dying by the statistics. Watch the game.
Until those statistics get proven wrong.
Watch the game.
Somebody comes back and wins.
Speaking of winning, you got CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber, and Kluber was not very good the last time that he took the mound. Usually when he lays an egg, and I think he's only had like two bad starts this year because he's so dominant. When he has a bad start, he follows it up with an absolute gem. And I got Corey Kluber and the Indians tonight, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Joe Girardi and the Yankees moving forward. I don't necessarily think he loses his job, but not asking for a challenge when Lonnie Chisenhall fouled that ball off and it was caught and it should have been a foul tip strike three and the inning is over, and that's what opened the door for the comeback, that is something that he's not going to be able to outrun, especially in that media market. Now, speaking of large media markets and the American League East, John Farrell is out today as manager of the Boston Red Sox. And I got to tell you, if you're a Red Sox fan, I'm not necessarily in love with the list of the candidates that I'm seeing as possible replacements for him, which include Brad Ausmus, because Dave Dombrowski, who's running the show in Boston now, is the one who gave Ausmus his chance in Detroit. Ron Gardenhire, it's just a long list of retread candidates. And, of course, you got some guys. I think Alex Cora was listed as an up-and-comer, and Jason Veritek, who's never managed before, who's very popular with Red Sox fans.
That's the new trend, though, isn't it? Hire somebody who's never managed
before?
Yeah,
like Brad Ausmus.
Brad Ausmus,
look
Mike
how
Matheny.
Great that worked out. Yeah, but Matheny has won.
He has. Some of them have worked, and some of them have not. Brad Ausmus did not work out very well. Were you surprised to see John Farrell get canned?
No, because they've had a lot of stuff going on this year, and I think it's not necessarily the postseason performance. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. But you had the Spygate. Well, technically, that's the Patriots. What did they call? Appgate, Watchgate, Applegate, whatever you... Applegate was the leader of a cult. Heaven's Gate. I don't know why I remember this name, but I know that was Applewhite.
Applegate.
Never mind.
Isn't that the name of a
Major
attractive...
Major Applegate was the quarterback of Texas, right?
Applewhite.
And see, that was Applewhite, too?
Applegate is an actress, right?
Christina.
Yes.
Yeah, from Anchorman, and first came to prominence on Married with Children, which is a criminally underrated TV show which would never see the light of day today. in 2017. No TV network would put Married with Children on. There's no chance, not even Fox, where it originally aired, would touch Married with Children nowadays. Where was I? I was careening down the... I'm in the car and with Toons as the driving cat right now.
We were talking about the Red Sox.
We were talking about Farrell and the Red Sox. You had the stealing signs story from earlier in the year. There were a couple other instances where it just looked like Farrell wasn't informed or he knew about things and he was claiming not to. And it just, I think he fell out of favor with a lot of the fans. And then the last straw was Houston beating them in the ALDS, although I think you're burying your head in the sand if you're a Boston fan that didn't realize how talented and how good Houston is. But the David Price situation, that certainly... Look, somebody put it best when they were talking to Ken Rosenthal on MLB Network this morning. You give him David Price. This is John Farrell's a pitching guy. You give him David Price, and then this year you give him Chris Sale, and they've got all of this talent in their lineup, and they get bounced in the AL. He had a couple last-place finishes in there, too. I mean, it was an up-and-down tenure, so he's out of a job. I don't necessarily know if going the route of some of these names that are getting thrown around. And one that I think is really fascinating, who I think he wants to manage again, and I don't know whether he's ever going to get the opportunity. But there are a lot of openings right now, and I think Ozzie Guillen would be a really good choice. And I'll throw this out there. I think Ozzie Guillen would be a really good choice for the New York Mets. I think he'd be a fantastic choice for the Mets.
You don't think the New York media market would eat him alive a little bit? And I know he's pretty good with the media, but he has run-ins all the time.
Exactly, but he knows. He's managed in a major market before in Chicago.
And been the number two.
And he's managed. He knows what it's like to manage the number two team in a two-team town. I'll be interested to see whether Ron Gardenhier gets another chance. Brad Ausmus, I don't think, is a very good manager, but I've seen some people say that they're betting that he's going to be a better manager the second time around, that he will have learned from the mistakes that he made in Detroit. And I've always thought that that's really dangerous thinking, because if you hire the guy thinking he's going to do a better job and he doesn't, then you're looking for another manager in a couple years. Philadelphia is still open. The Mets' job is still open. The Tigers now. The Red Sox. Am I missing anybody else?
Sandy Alomar is another name that has been brought up in connection to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, but MLB is as bad as the NFL when it comes to the minority hires. And the NFL has the Rooney Rule, and they pay lip service to a lot of people. And that's why Bo Porter would get interviewed for a lot of managerial openings and then never get the job. And finally, he gets an opportunity, and then Houston pulls the plug on him because it wasn't a good mesh with the front office, which I think is really interesting as far as Paul Molitor coming back in the Twin Cities for a three-year deal, although the other day they informed Neil Allen, who's the pitching coach there, that he will not be returning, and there are some rumblings that perhaps somebody from the Indians organization could be coming over because the front office has ties to both the Indians and the Rangers organizations. That'll be interesting to see play out, but Molitor coming back on a three-year deal in the Twin Cities with the young talent that he's managed the last couple years, and maybe a key staff acquisition here or there, the Twins could be, in my opinion, right back in the mix of things next year if they find some better pitching in the offseason, or if they get things turned around. Pitching, even though they did make the postseason this year, was ultimately their Achilles heel, because you had a guy by the name of Alan Buznitz pitching in a key situation in the wild card game. And I'm sorry, but a postseason team doesn't have Alan Buznitz pitching in a high-leverage relief situation.
Well, that was a team that traded away most of their, or a good chunk of their bullpen during or before the trade deadline. And I think that's what made it more improbable that they did make the playoffs. And anything that they did from there was going to be icing on the cake. Is that priority number one for the Minnesota Twins, bolster that bullpen and possibly find a starting pitcher. I hope that they take another step forward, but even if they come out and have a similar result, 84-85 wins, I still would think that that would be a success in their eyes. I just hope that they don't take a huge step back like they did 2 years ago.
We'll wait and see. It was fun, and I think it's going to be fun watching some of these former Cedar Rapids Colonels continue to make their way to the Twin Cities, and I think Paul Molitor is a good manager, and the key story for them this offseason, which unfortunately began last week with being eliminated by the Yankees in the wild card game, the key story for the Twins this offseason is what happens to Miguel Sano, because now they're talking about having to do a surgery on his leg where they would insert a steel rod, and he's a big guy. And when you're big, and I know this because I'm 6'3", 6'4", depending on what gas station I'm walking. I use that joke all the time. But I'm a big guy, both vertically and horizontally. And your body just, you break down. I don't think the human body's meant to be much bigger than like 5'11", 6 feet, maybe. Bigger guys have a tendency to suffer really minor problems that just continue to exacerbate themselves. Just because the bigger you are, a lot of us have extra weight. And here, I'm Dr. Dusty Baker today. I'm diagnosing Miguel Sano as his career is practically over because he might have to have this rod put in. I'm no better than Dusty Baker, who yesterday said Steven Strasburg and half the Nationals were under the weather because of the mold.
Let's just hope that there's no mold on the rod that is put into Miguel Sano's leg. But we go back to, remember that article from the, what was it, the Star Tribune?
He also, Dusty said he didn't know whether it was mold. He thought it was, he was looking at moss on the trees. What was he looking at?
Well, maybe he saw the mold count on the news, or I don't know. There's 100 different explanations for something that Dusty says, and none of them are very good. But maybe he does. Maybe the whole weight thing with Miguel Sano is more of a story than we once thought. Because you see some of these guys like Matt Adams. There's many other examples where they had to drop a little bit of weight for their careers to kind of take shape, and it'll be tough because that's a guy who you want to have as much power as possible. You want him hitting it out of the ballpark, but you also want him healthy. So hopefully he comes back healthy next year.
The fact that we're still talking baseball and acknowledging
soccer, we could talk soccer.
Yeah, no, and look, I was interested to see what people would say about soccer, and I got the feedback that I was expecting, and which is you either are all in on it, or you're so hardcore that you turn your nose up at the MLS. That's how hardcore you are, or you couldn't care if people paid you to care about it. Like, there's no in between. That's sort of what we gleaned from the text line today. And like I said, I, again, embarrassed to admit my ignorance, but unless somebody comes to me and says, we got to talk about this on the show because it's a big deal, I had no idea that they were playing Trinidad and Tobago last night and all of the hopes and dreams of a soccer-loving nation were on the line in that game. None. And I listen to and watch a lot of ESPN. But guess who has the TV rights for the World Cup? Fox. And guess what ESPN is notorious for? Ignoring things that it doesn't have the broadcast rights to. So I guess I was in the dark on that one, and so too now is the U.S. men's national team, because they're not going to be playing in the World Cup for the first time since 1986. The top movie that year was Top Gun. Anytime anything happens for the first time in a really long time, like Iowa State beats Oklahoma, first time since 1990, first instinct is to go run and see what happened that year. What was popular? Who was president? What TV shows were on? Music? It's a big deal to a lot of people that the U.S. men's national team isn't playing in the World Cup for the first time since 1986. I think the bigger deal is the direction that the entire program is heading in, and there doesn't seem to be a quick fix on the horizon, and they've gone out and they've tried to bring in Jurgen Klinsmann, and that didn't work, so Bruce Arena's back in charge, and now they suffer a humiliating loss. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And meanwhile, there's much smaller countries out there who are much more successful, and it's frustrating. Not as frustrating as watching Justin Wilson pitch in the postseason for the Cubs, because it means they're down 5-0. You can catch the conclusion of that game on our FM frequencies right now, 106.3 and 107.5. We got to take a quick timeout. For those of you who are still with us, and I'm guessing you number in the dozens right now, Kyle's going to have your final Midwest One Bank Big Board update when we return after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
We all win by living united. By forging unlikely partnerships, finding new solutions to old problems, and inspiring individuals to join the fight against our community's most daunting social crises. We are more than the fundraisers, we are the hand raisers and the game changers. United Way of East Central Iowa. Volunteer, advocate, give, make a difference. Go to uweci.org/2017 to learn more about how you can join the fight.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
All right, let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your last Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa defensive coordinator Phil Parker spoke with the media in Iowa City today, and with the return of Brandon Snyder, he's likely to start at free safety, and sophomore Amani Hooker will slide over to be the starter at strong safety for the foreseeable future. He also spoke encouragingly about Manny Ragumba's recovery from his mysterious injury. Meanwhile, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz didn't really give an update on running back James Butler, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that he'd return after the bye week as was initially targeted. Pro Football Focus released their weekly all-conference teams, and Iowa DBs Brandon Snyder and Amani Hooker were named to the All-Big Ten defense. Snyder, in fact, was also named to the National Team of the Week after recording three tackles, two pass breakups, and a pick six. Iowa State running back David Montgomery was named to the All-Big 12 offense for the fourth time in 6 weeks, and defensive back Brian Peavy was named to the defense. It was confirmed late yesterday that Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR Cup Series driver Landon Castle would be leaving Front Row Motorsports after the 2017 season, finding himself in a familiar position searching for a new team. Castle has 253 Cup starts since 2010, and his next team will be his fifth. Today on KGYM, over on the FM frequencies right now, we've got the end of the Cubs game. The Nationals lead that one 5-0 in the ninth. Following that, we're going to bring you the deciding Game 5 of the AL Division Series between the Yankees and Indians. That's going to start shortly after 7 on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
As a matter of fact, we're headed there right now. Thursday, we've got Woodja, and we'll set the table for what looks to be a deciding Game 5 of the National League Divisional Series between the Nationals and the Cubs. Make sure to join us then. All three of our frequency tonight. You get the Indians and the Yankees. It's the Emil's Hideaway poll question today. Who wins and advances to take on the Astros? Vote early, vote often, and most importantly, join us right back here again tomorrow as we will do this all again with less soccer talk.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4.